Well, there was a man who died and went to heaven, and he's greeted at the pearly gates by St. Peter. And St. Peter says, hey, before we go see the big guy, let's just for fun, like, tell me what's one of the best things you did on earth? And the guy kind of perked up. He said, well, you're not going to believe this, St. Peter, but there was a time where I walked out of a grocery store and I saw in the parking lot a gang of the baddest, meanest, biggest guys I've ever seen. And they're surrounding this older, elderly woman in a wheelchair, and they're picking on her and harassing her. And I don't know what came over me, because I'm a little guy, as you can tell. I looked at them and I said, you will not bother her. And when they didn't stop, I stepped in between them and this elderly woman in a wheelchair, and I said, you won't touch her. And St. Peter's like, wow, man, I mean, you're like a small dude. You really did that? He's like, I did. He said, when did that happen? I think it was about 2 or 3 minutes ago. This thing all went down, you know? And so I got a corny joke at the top. I got a corny joke at the bottom. This is what you got today. But I am fired up to talk to you about heaven today, because I'm convinced most people, most Christians, don't have a clue what heaven's going to really be like. And as we finish our Revelation series today, let me just tell you this. Everything in Revelation culminates with God letting us know that he's creating a new heaven and a new earth and what it's going to be like. In fact, let me just show you on the timeline where we've been. We started Revelation just saying that when Jesus died and rose again and ascended into heaven, that started the last days. Are we in the end times right now? Let me ask you again. Yes, we are. Do we know when Jesus is going to return again? No, we don't. But we're in the end times, and throughout the series, we've talked about the rapture. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. If you missed Mark's message last week on the tribulation, so good, these 7 years of tribulation. But everything culminates when Jesus returns, and then eventually he creates a new heaven and a new earth. That's Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the last two books in the entire Bible, which we're going to cover today. But I want to start just asking you this. When you think about the new heaven and new earth, how many of you have actually put any time into studying or understanding or even thinking about what heaven's going to really be like? For some of us, if you haven't lost someone recently, or you're not in the middle of maybe a terminal illness, for many of us, you're like me, we don't think about what heaven's even going to be like sometimes. And it's a massive mistake, because Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 commands us, think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. And some of us are so consumed with this earth that we're missing what God has planned, and it's so good. And sometimes we're not anticipating it because we can't fathom it. We don't even know what it's going to be like. Let me put it this way. It's hard to anticipate what we can't imagine. And that's why I can't tell you how excited I am for today, because I have a goal today that when you walk away today, I want you to have an accurate, biblical picture of heaven. And some of us do not. In fact, our view of heaven is so far off, it's not even funny. Because a lot of us, you know where we got our view of heaven? From Hollywood, cartoons, or corny jokes. And it's way off. In fact, some of us right now, our view of God, we see God as Morgan Freeman. Or if you're really old, George Burns. Some of you know. You're like, who's that? Google him, you know? And it's like our view of heaven. You know what some of our view of heaven is? We think heaven like we float on clouds, and there's harps and little baby angels with wings flying around everywhere. And there's like bright lights, and there's like, it's cerebral, and then like maybe there's just an eternal choir. Does that sound appealing to anybody else? Yeah, me neither. And that is not heaven, not even close. So today, I'm going to give you the biblical view of heaven, and very imperfectly, because what I'm going to try to do, and John even struggles with this, I'm going to try to describe the indescribable. But here's the big idea I want you to walk away with today. Heaven is better than you can think. In fact, it is better than you can fathom. And we're going to turn in our Bibles to find the truth, not to Hollywood or something else. So if you have your Bibles, open to Revelation chapter 21. And I want to pray for us as we get started today, because there's a lot riding on this message for someone here today. Father, I want to pray that as we get into your word, God, would you reveal whatever you want to reveal to us. There's someone here today that's lost someone recently, and they're in pain. And understanding what heaven like matters more than they could ever imagine, not only for what their future holds, but even dealing with what they're dealing with today. But God, there's more on the line for someone else here today who has never given their life to Jesus fully. They've never gone all in and truly given their lives to Jesus and been baptized. And Father, I pray today that you'd open their hearts to what you have planned, the hope of heaven, if they would simply give their lives to you. We pray all this, though, in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1, what the apostle John does, remember, he's on the island of Patmos. He's been given a vision from Jesus. He's going to describe what heaven is like. And he starts this way. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." This is critically important. John tells us that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, which means there's an old heaven and an old earth that are going to pass away. Let me just say it clearly. I'm preaching this message from the old earth. And if you pass away before Jesus comes back, you go to the old heaven. But we're told right up front, there's a new heaven and a new earth that God creates when Jesus comes back, and all followers of Jesus are gathered at this new heaven and this new earth, because the old heaven and the new earth are gone. Now you need to lean in on this next part, because this is huge. Verse 2, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem," say it out loud, say the next two words out loud with me, what? "Coming down." Say it one more time. Coming down. Coming down from where? "Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." Now John's describing that when the old heaven and the old earth pass away, this new heaven's gonna come out of heaven, where? Down here, to us. And he goes on and he says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is no longer out there, it's with us here on this earth among the people, and he will dwell with them.'" So let me show you verse 2 one more time. This is one of the biggest misunderstandings about heaven. Heaven is coming where? Coming down. It's coming down. So here's surprise number one. I'm gonna give you three surprises about heaven today. Surprise number one, heaven isn't up there, it's coming down here. Some of you are like, "What? I thought when we died, we just went up in the clouds somewhere." No. When Jesus comes back again and he creates a new heaven and a new earth, heaven comes down here to us, and there's a new earth created, and heaven is combined with this new earth in a miraculous way we probably can't even fathom right now, but that's what happened. What is God doing? Watch this. God's recreating Eden. Remember at the beginning of the year, we started in the book of Genesis. We said we're going to go from Genesis, and then we're going to jump to Revelation. One of the reasons I wanted to do that is I wanted to show you in Genesis that God created paradise here on this earth. And when we took the fruit, when we sin entered this world, we now got kicked out of Eden, paradise, and we live in a sinful world. But one day, there'll be a day where Jesus comes back, and there will be no more sin, no more pain. And there's a new heaven and a new earth, but it doesn't come, we don't go up there. God brings heaven down to here. You need to understand this. And even 2 Peter 3 confirms this. Watch this, 2 Peter 3:13. "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness will dwell." God will dwell with us. And people ask me all the time, like, "Well, what will heaven be like?" My answer is, it's a whole lot like this earth right now, with no more pain, no more sin. It is perfect, it's paradise. And we know that because watch this, verse 4, John goes on to tell us that in this new heaven and new earth, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. That is one of the most powerful and important passages of scripture for you to understand, that there's a day coming where every bit of pain and anxiety, abuse you've experienced, all the suffering, the tears you have shed, you will never shed another tear. Why? Because there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things is passed away. It's done. And then John says this, he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. That's beautiful. Everything will be brand new. It'll be paradise. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Not Hollywood's version of heaven, these words. So, what will the new heaven and new earth be like? And again, I'm trying to describe the undescribable, but I'm going to do my very best today. What's the new heaven and new earth going to be like? Well, think about it. Imagine the most beautiful place you have ever been on planet Earth. And then times it by a million. I think God gives us glimpses of heaven on this earth. And it creates a longing in us for something more than we're experiencing on this earth. You know, sometimes you go on vacation to a beautiful place or to an epic area and you don't want to leave, but you got to come back home. Well, one day there'll be a time where you never leave. It's that beautiful and epic. And if God is recreating this earth to be paradise, to be perfect, don't you think chances are pretty good a lot of what you enjoy on earth today, you will have infinitely better in the new heaven and new earth that God's creating? Let me give you some examples, and this is where my mind goes. For those of you that love golf, and I can't prove this, but I think God is going to create some of the most beautiful golf courses you could ever fathom in the new heaven and new earth, and there's no green fees. And all the golfers said, amen, right? Some guy just perked up. He's like, what'd he say? Yeah, you got to be listening, man. But I love golf. Some of you know that. I grew up until seventh grade in a little town of 1,000 people that's near the border of Mexico and Arizona called Wilcox, Arizona. And I grew up playing golf on maybe one of the worst golf courses in Arizona or the world. It's called Twin Lakes. This is a picture of the golf course. If you could see the course, it's more dirt than it is grass. It may be better now, but it was a goat track. I mean, it was bad. And this is all we did. We just played this over and over again, but it was bad. Now, the most beautiful golf course that I think I've seen, or it's one of the most beautiful golf courses in the world, I think is Pebble Beach. And if you've never seen Pebble Beach, it's just an epic, epic place in Northern California on the coast. And I just think this area of our world is epically beautiful. And here's what I think. I think there's coming a day in the new heaven and new earth where God is going to create golf courses for golfers that love golf that will make Pebble Beach look like Twin Lakes. And some of you are like, well, I'm not a golfer. That doesn't do it for me. Okay, imagine you love gardening. Imagine you love the outdoors. Could you imagine the Garden of Eden? Could you imagine? I mean, just picture this. Picture wherever you think is the most beautiful place on earth. Picture Lake Como in Italy. Picture Banff in Canada. Picture the Maldives or the beaches of Maui, if you love the beach. Picture the Swiss Alps and the majestic majesty you see looking at that. And then imagine a place, the new heaven and the new earth, where these places are average. That's what God is creating. We have the seven wonders of the world. Imagine the 7 trillion wonders of the world. And you have eternity to explore all them. This is what God is creating with the new heaven and the new earth. It's better than you could imagine. And think about all the things you enjoy on earth today. Some of us, like, we don't have a picture of heaven because we think, well, I'm not going to enjoy the things I enjoy on earth. Why wouldn't you if it's a new heaven and a new earth? Why wouldn't there be things you enjoy? Like, how many of you love coffee out there? You love coffee? And some of you are like, is there coffee in heaven? You know, you're like shaking. Why wouldn't there be? In Eden, if there's trees and plants, why wouldn't there be coffee beans? And you're going to be able to taste coffee from places you can't even imagine that are 10 times better than anything you've had here. No bad coffee in heaven. Some of you are like, well, are there pets in heaven? Because I love my pet. You know, is Sparky going to be there? And you know, I've talked about this in the past. You already know about cats, right, in heaven. I've actually told you, Isaiah 65 says there will be animals in heaven. Did you know that? I mean, it's a new heaven and new earth. There's animals here on this earth. Why wouldn't there be, in the perfect heaven and earth, why wouldn't there be animals? Now, will there be cats? I think there will be. I think God will just supernaturally, because there's no sin, there's no pain, so God will supernaturally strip away the evil sinfulness in cats. And I think I could potentially have a cat if they weren't evil anymore, you know? So I don't know. But I just, like, God has so much good in store for you. And we have such a limited view of what he might do, but it's a perfect new heaven and new earth combined. It's amazing. Will there be marriage in heaven? My greatest joy on this earth is actually spending time with my wife, Jamie. I love her more than I can ever, ever describe. Matthew 22, Jesus tells us there will not be marriage in heaven. And some of us, that like disappoints us, but just keep in mind the goodness of God. Did you know with our new bodies that we're given in heaven, do you know we will recognize each other? We know that from scripture because the disciples recognized Jesus's resurrected body. And in Luke chapter 16, there's a story about a rich man who peers up into heaven and sees Lazarus, and he recognizes Lazarus in heaven. So when we get to heaven, the new heaven and the new earth that's created, we will recognize each other, our resurrected bodies. And who's to say we can't have a special relationship with someone we recognize? I'm planning on having a relationship with Jamie. And she's going to, I don't know if she's planning on it with me, but I'm planning on it with you, Jamie. You know, it's like a mansion. It's going to be awesome. Some of you are like, is there sex in heaven? Ask your parents, okay? This isn't to be weird. So don't let your mind go crazy, but I want you to just think with me deeply. If God created these imperfect bodies we have today, right now on this imperfect, sinful earth, and God created our bodies to experience all sorts of sensations and pleasures, why would you ever think in heaven that it wouldn't be exponentially more with our new perfect bodies? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we have such a limited view. Some people say something like this, like, I'm gonna be so bored in heaven. If you think that, you have no idea what heaven is gonna be like. It is going to be the most perfect, beautiful, amazing, stupendous. Like, I have no words to describe what it's gonna be like. And if you could understand it, you'd have your mind set more on heaven, which is a problem for some of us. Because when you study history, the Christians who had the greatest impact in this world were the ones that had their focus on heaven, not this world. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, if you focus on heaven, you get earth thrown in. But if you focus on earth, you miss both. And some of us just need a better picture of what heaven is really like, and it's better than you could ever think. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2:9, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind could imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. Does that get anybody else fired up about heaven? Is it just me? Like, could you imagine how good it's gonna be? So that's surprise number one, right? Heaven doesn't, we don't go up there. It comes down here and it's gonna be amazing. Here's surprise number two. Heaven is bigger and more beautiful than you can fathom. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 15, it says, this is John, says, the angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. And so if you read Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and I encourage you to do it this week, what is amazing is John measures heaven. We get a measurement of heaven. And I'll just give you the summary. You ready? The summary is the length and the width and the height of heaven is 1,500 miles each. Let me give you a picture of what that looks like. That's from Canada to Arizona, or from Canada to Mexico, and then from Arizona to the Carolinas. But that's just the length and the width. But the height is 1,500 miles as well. So most theologians believe with the height, there could be 600,000 stories in heaven. You're like, you're gonna need a good elevator system, right? No, we won't, because it's our resurrected bodies. A resurrection happens immediately. You can just be there. If you do the math on this massive, massive, massive city that God's bringing down to create a new heaven and a new earth, there's room for billions and billions of people. There's ample room. There's room for you if you follow Jesus. Heaven is huge. It's big. And could you imagine all the room there is for lakes and fountains and gardens and beauty beyond what we could ever imagine, and we have eternity to explore and enjoy the beauty of heaven. See, it's not just bigger than you think. It's more beautiful than you can fathom. And John tries to put human words to something that would be impossible to describe what God has planned for us. But John does his best. Revelation 21, 18, he says, the walls are made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The most beautiful things you've ever seen in this world, heaven's going to blow that away. In fact, gold, the whole city's made of gold, and gold is so common, the streets are paved with gold. Imagine that. And then he goes on to just describe over and over again just how beautiful this place is. So surprise number two is it's bigger and more beautiful than you can fathom. But here's surprise number three, and this is what someone needs to hear today. Surprise number three is the pain you carry here will not follow you there. You may have heard that there is no pain, there's no death, there's no suffering, there's nothing bad in heaven. You may have heard that before, and you might say, that's not really a surprise to me, but let me tell you where it could be a surprise. A lot of us know it intellectually, but it's never sunk into our heart. We're experiencing it personally. I'll use myself as an example. Sometimes when you're in the midst of pain, you can know something intellectually but not experience it personally. And when you're here on this earth, there's sometimes pain that you think is never going to go away. And it just continues over and over again. And I'll use myself as an example. And I've shared with you over the years just things our family's been through, even the past couple years. Some of them I've shared with you, some of them I haven't. Some of you know that a few years ago, my wife Jamie was diagnosed with cancer. One of the most painful things we tried to walk through. And even today, we wrestle with the uncertainty of what that looks like in the future. What I haven't told you is that last year, my dad was diagnosed with dementia. And it has been so destructive on our family that I can't even describe it. You know that when God's moving in a church like CCV, Satan will come against it. And there's all sorts of things that happen that are hard, and it's hard on me, and you just have my commitment that I will lead with integrity and humility to always point our church to Jesus no matter what Satan brings against us. He doesn't stand a chance. Doesn't stand a chance. But there's other pain. There's other pain we experience. I mean, I told you a few weeks back that I lost a deep friend. I went and did his funeral. It was a great celebration, but it's still hard. And then last week, we have a cousin that lives in Kansas City that I love so much, and she took her own life in the worst possible way you could imagine. And now, I will fly to Kansas City, and I will do that memorial, which that is one of the hardest things you will ever do in life. And that pain I've got right now, that doesn't compare to what some of you are in the middle of right now. And so you must know and let it sink into your heart. Because guys, the pain that you carry here, it will not be there. In fact, if you have Jesus, He can bring a little heaven to earth and help you deal with your pain here. But remember, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 tells us He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be, say it out loud, no more. There will be no more. And the list of no mores that you don't have to carry with you from this world into heaven is infinite. Can I just give you a little list today? There will be no more cemeteries, no more cancer or crime that steals innocence and shatters lives. There's no more depression or anxiety that cripples your days. There's no more suicide, no more corruption, addictions, drunk drivers, or dementia. There's no more divorce, deception, lying, or hate. There's no more heart attacks, heat strokes, homelessness. There's no more mammograms, knee replacements, colonoscopies, or kidney stones. Amen? There's none of that. There's no more, come on, yeah, there's no more infertility. There's no more miscarriages. There's no more nursing homes or nuclear threats. There's no more greed, gossip against you, isolation, loneliness. There's no more prisons, poverty, performance reviews, or any political party needed. Come on, somebody. Yeah. There's no more root canals. There's no more racism. There's no more road rage or regret. There's no more lust, shame, hurt, ever feeling broken again. There's no more unwanted children, unloved spouses, or a single unmet need in your life. There's no more Zoom calls. There's no more Zyrtec or Xanax. There's no more worry ever. And I can just hear God in all of his power and tenderness whispering to someone today, what I create in this new heaven and new earth, every wounded heart today, I am creating everything new. I will redeem everything that was lost. I will restore everything that was broken. Which means the person on one of our campuses right now who spent a lifetime in a wheelchair or struggling to walk, do you understand? In heaven, you will run and jump with unending joy. The person today that is deaf and you are listening to this service with sign language or even closed captioning, or the person who's blind, you can hear this, but you cannot see the colors of the rainbow. You've never seen a flower or the blue sky. Do you understand? In heaven, every deaf person will hear the beauty they missed on this earth. And every blind person will see all the majesty of God. For every person here who hasn't had a full night's sleep in years because of fear, anxiety, or abuse, in heaven, there's no more restless nights. There's just peace. And for the person battling cancer or watching someone around you fade away with their illness, in heaven, there's no more bad news. There's no more treatments. There's no more from doctors, we're not sure what to do. There's only life to the fullest, fully and forever. And for the person here who spent a lifetime being overlooked, lonely, you feel empty inside. In heaven, you are fully seen, fully known, fully loved, more than you could ever imagine. And for the person here carrying regret, you look back on your life, there's so many things you want to do differently, you want to undo. God says, I redeem even that. And in heaven, you will have no shame. It is gone. And for the person here who's been searching for love your whole entire life, in all the wrong places, you've searched for love in relationships and success and approval and things that never quite satisfied. In heaven, you will find love to its fullest. Not a temporary love, not a fragile love, not a conditional love that comes and goes, a perfect love, because you will be in the presence of love himself. His name is Jesus. That's what you'll experience. Hey, you know in your life, you know that peace that you're always searching for that's just out of grasp? You know that joy that you get every once in a while, but then it just disappears, like it happens on a vacation or a tender moment, and then it's gone. In heaven, it's all fulfilled and forever. It never goes away. And the question I have for someone here today is, does anybody want a place like that? Does anybody want a place like that? Because that's what I want. The question is, will you have the hope of that? Like, if you died today, are you confident that you would have the hope of heaven? Because it's that good. Revelation ends in chapter 22, verse 12, and Jesus says, look, I'm coming soon. He says it over and over again. Some of you need to wake up. He's coming, and he says, my reward, everything we've talked about today, the reward of heaven, the new heaven and new earth, I will give to each person according to what they've done. And you're like, have I done enough? Like, have I done enough on this earth to get heaven? Well, there's another man who died and went to heaven, and St. Peter is at the pearly gates, and he says, hey, to get into heaven, you need 1,000 cumulative points on earth. So let's start counting your points on earth? Let's add it up. And the guy starts. He goes, well, I mean, so I was faithful to my wife for 50 years. Peter goes, awesome. 3 points. 3 points? Are you kidding me? He goes on. He goes, but I went to church like every weekend. Peter's like, awesome. 2 points. But I went to CCV. Oh, you should have said so, man. 2.5 points now. But I served every weekend, and I served in my community, and I gave generously to my church and to people, and I took care of my kids, and I worked hard, and I did so many good things. And Peter goes, awesome, 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 awesome. 5 more points. And the guy throws his hands in the air. He says, this is ridiculous. I will never get into heaven unless it's by the grace of God and the power of Jesus' forgiveness on the cross. And Peter looks at him and says, bingo. Come on in. Let me remind someone here today. Your good works will never get you into heaven. Scripture says we are all sinners, me included. And the only people that get into heaven are not good people, they're forgiven people that have given their lives to a Savior that can cover their sin by his sacrifice on the cross. It's talking about Jesus Christ who went to a cross to die for you. So you need the shed blood of Jesus to cover your sin and make you whole and righteous in God's sight. It's not your good works. In fact, Revelation goes on to say this in verse chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. He's talking about heaven. And watch what he says. He says, you want to go through the gates of heaven? And remember the tree of life in Genesis? We took the fruit and we sinned. Well, when God recreates heaven, there's a tree of life right in the center that we have forever. And how do you get it? Only by being washed. You wash your robes. You are clean only by the blood of Jesus, period. Have you given your life to Jesus? Accepted his forgiveness? Repented of your sins? And gone into the water of baptism to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going all in with Jesus. If you've never taken that step, I think this weekend is a great step to take it. What are you waiting for? At the end of our service, we're gonna have prayer team at the front of every service. You can come pray with them. Let them serve you. If you're in pain today, come have someone pray with you. And if you're a Christian here today, let me challenge you with this. Your mind needs to be more focused on heaven if you ever want to live the life God has for you on this earth. Some of you are living way too much for this earth, and it is temporary and passing away, and the new heaven and new earth is going to blow your mind. And if you're not a follower of Jesus here today, listen to me. You are not guaranteed tomorrow, but you have today to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. It's free. You don't earn it. And God is asking you today to take a step of faith. So as we wrap up this Revelation series, anybody else feel like God's spoken to you in this series? It's been so good on so many places. But let me take you back to the very beginning, Revelation chapter 1. Here's what we're told. Verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud these words of this prophecy. It's what we've been doing in this series. And blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what's written in it. In other words, they do something with it. You're not blessed by just hearing it. You're blessed when you take a step of faith. A step of faith, because the time is near. God, I want to pray for every person here that needs to take a step of faith. We're not blessed by just coming to church and hearing your word preached. We're blessed when we take it and we do something with it. We apply it to our lives. So for the person here who is in pain, remind them that there's a day coming when there is no more pain. And God, for the person here today that doesn't have Jesus, they've never given their lives to Jesus in faith and taken a step of faith to be baptized. God, would you give them the courage to take that step today so they don't miss out on the greatest gift you want to give them, being forgiven, clean, and having the hope of heaven. We pray all this in Jesus' name. We all said, amen, amen. Hey, Easter's coming in 2 weeks. Talk about heaven. We're going to celebrate. Make sure you're inviting people now. We'll see you next week, everybody.